is now working. Here we go. I want to remind everybody that's online, thank you. There is a delay. We didn't realize how much of a delay there is. But if you want to text, you can actually communicate. We have somebody right now online ready to communicate. If you have questions, you can ask them. We'll answer them right where you're at. Okay, chapter 9, part 6. We're covering the laying on of hands. We covered the baptisms. How many baptisms?
Three.
Which ones are they?
Baptism of water.
Baptism
of the Spirit.
Spirit?
Fire.
Fire, very good. We don't cover the fire one in class, but that is one that's here. And so the next one we want to get into, remember these are the elementary principles of the gospel of Christ. This is Sunday school. This is basics. This is first, second, and third grade. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. The word perfection there means?
Maturity.
Very good. So we all got to grow up. Turn to somebody and say, you need to grow up. Babe, you just had your birthday. Congratulations. Not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, but of the doctrines, the baptisms, of the laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of the eternal judgment. So tonight we're going to cover the laying on of hands. What is laying of your hands mean? Now, what's happened is in most Christianity churches today, the only people that are laying hands on people are the pastors. Now, that's an issue, not a positive issue. What we've done, and there was a big change with Constantinople. Anybody ever heard of Constantinople? When Constantinople came into, Constantine, I know you've heard of Constantinople, that's a place. When Constantine came into rule, there was actually a division. And the division came then between the papal, everybody know what papal is? The priests, and the people. So what happened was there was a division that occurred. The division was that now only the papal or the priests could understand the Bible. Now only the papal, the priests, could pray. Now only the papal, the priests, could do all the workings that's in the Bible. The people were too stupid. The people could not understand the Bible. They were too ignorant. So therefore, only the papal could do the Bible and do the workings of the Bible. That was not the plan of the book of Acts. The problem with that, what that did was, is that took all of the workers of the kingdom of God and said, shut up, go sit down, you're stupid. And that's never been the plan of God. God's plan is that we all work. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
God's plan is that we all move in the power of the Holy Spirit. And these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they touch any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. And when they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. God working with them, performing signs and wonders. God did that for a reason. It was the confirmation that the word of God was true. But what happened was this, is when the papal and the people split, what occurred was that no longer were the people empowered to do the work of the gospel. Now, that was back in 300, I think, 300 AD, BC. That AD?
AD,
thank you. 300 AD, and that was a long time ago. But you know something? It still works today. Same stuff is happening today.
Same workings.
Where the pastors, that, you know, they don't work or allow the people to work with them. They don't want the people doing the work. They can't control too many people. This is why many churches never get more than 100 people. The reason for that is because the pastors can't control enough of them. The true responsibility of the pastor is to equip you for the work of the ministry, bring you to unity, and bring you to maturity. The job, my job, is not to do the work. My job is to train you to do the work. So what's happened when that papal and the people split occurred was the papal are the only ones who were doing the workings of God. That's a problem. And so why we do this training right here with the Rock Solid Faith and why these chapters are imperative for you is you need to know how to work the gospel. You need to know how to move in the power of God. And I want to remind you, this is elementary school. So the majority of people don't know anything about the laying on of hands. They don't understand what it means. They don't understand what happens. They don't understand the evidence. They don't understand what goes through them, to them. They don't understand. So if you don't understand something, how can you do it? Well, that's very powerful to the papal, because then they can control the people. But the real problem with that is this. If you do not empower the people, then only a few are doing the work. There's a necessity to every single one of us move in the power of God. We all need to know how to move in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We all need to know how to cast out devils. We all need to know how to lay hands on the sick. We all need to know how to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, like many of you were last week. We all need this. We need this because that enables us to do the will of God. The problem, again, comes down to most churches and pastors aren't teaching their people these principles. So the people don't know how to move in the elementary principles of the gospel of Christ. Therefore, if they don't know how to move in the elementary principles of Christ, then how will they ever get to algebra? They can't. So it neuters the church. It makes the church of no power. A church with no power is not a church. It is a religious organization. There must be power in the church. You know, Sunday morning around the altar, the anointing was just so strong. The presence of God was so strong. And many of you, this is the only church you really know. The challenge with that is many people don't know what you got here. The anointing is very strong here in this church. But it's because we train. You watch the pastors go around and minister to people. And we have a prayer team that minister to people. We teach you how to minister to people. Why do we do that? Because we want the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We want the power of God being evidenced, because it's the power of God that changes a life, not religion.
Amen.
So today, I just want to make sure that you understand some of the basics of the laying on of hands. Now, the wisdom of the devil is this. That if you take the power out of the church, then you start having church, but very few believers. If you take the power of the church, you have a lot of people that are Christians, but are powerless. Timothy talks about this very strongly. Turn there with me, 2 Timothy. It's not in your book, I don't believe. Second Timothy chapter 3. I want you to see that this is talking about the church. It's not talking about the world. But know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. I love what the word says at this one. Ready? And from such people turn away. He's talking to the church. Because if he wasn't talking to the church, why would he say to them, having a form of godliness? So he's talking about, in the last days, this is what the church is going to look like. They're going to look religious, but there's not going to be any power. If there's no power, the problem, the Bible says, Paul said, I don't come to you with the excellency of speech, but with the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, so that your faith will not be built upon the wisdom of man, but upon the power of God. Without the power of God being evidenced in the local church, then it is a place of religious organization. Yes, people are going to heaven, but the difficulty comes when truly persecution comes to the church. Because if persecution comes to the church and you don't have the manifested power of God in your life, then you are not going to have the power to even go to the place of being martyred. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and you shall receive power, that dunamis, supernatural power, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. The word there that says witnesses means martyr. Now listen, this is not strange to us these days. It was strange in the old days. It's not strange now. ISIS is butchering people that call themselves Christians all the time. It wasn't long ago we saw them cut the heads off of, I think it was over 20 guys. I watched a video probably about a month ago, maybe two, of a Christian that they caught, and they literally had a child chop his head off. Of course, it took a few extra swings. I want to remind you that in the last days, execution the Antichrist will be doing will be through beheading. We hadn't seen beheading for how many years? And now it's a normal process through ISIS and what's now going through the Middle East. It happened, we know, down in New Jersey. Happened, we know, out in the West, where a lady was beheaded because she refused to convert to Islam. And right at work, the guy cut her head off with a box cutter. That was in America. This is so real, and we need to come to an awakening that if we've ever needed the power before, we need the power in the church now. If you've ever needed the baptism in the Holy Ghost, the power of God in your life before, it's now. And this is why this elementary principle must be taught to the church, because it cannot be just residing or hoarded by the papal or the priests or the ministers or the pastors. It has to be handed to the people so that you too can move in the power of God and get your friends saved.
Amen.
If your friends aren't saved, where are they going? Yeah, let's be real. I mean, we don't like to ever talk about that, but every friend that you have right now that does not know Christ as their Savior, that you actually call friend, if they died tonight, and how many of you know somebody that died young? Died tonight, where are they going? And did you take the time to tell them? And this is where the power of God is so important to our lives, because it's not just about feeling the oochie-goochies on a Sunday morning. It's about you and I taking that power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and using it to bring transition in other people's lives. You are powerful people, and the devil just wants to keep you down so that you are nothing more than just a person sitting in the pew. But that's not going to happen in this church. I'm going to empower you with everything I got. I'm going to push you. I'm going to kick you. I'm going to irritate you. I'm going to tell you don't be a slug. I'm going to do everything I can to get you to be moving in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, because people need you, and I can't be everywhere, and I don't want to be everywhere. Sometimes I just want to go home and lay in bed. Amen. So the devil has, with his wisdom, kept the people ignorant through the preachers. Now, what are we talking about ignorant of? What's the power of God? The power of God is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We sing about the anointing, we talk about the anointing, but many people don't know what the anointing is. So we're going to teach you about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Then we're going to teach you how to release the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, I'm possessed.
I'm possessed.
Well, who are you possessed by?
The Holy Spirit.
Who's the one who gives the anointing? The Holy Spirit. So where's the anointing residing? Inside of you. So the problem is not that you're not anointed. The problem is you got to get it out. So if you don't get the anointing out, who are you helping? Because unless they experience the power of God, then what are they actually experiencing? Religion? Religion only helps you for so long. You got to have the power of God.
Amen.
So the anointing is what we're going to talk about. What is the anointing? The first thing to understand is that the anointing is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the giver of the anointing, the provider of the anointing, but the Holy Spirit is not the anointing. So what is the anointing then? Well, the Bible says, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. So the anointing is simple to understand. The anointing is the energy that comes from the Holy Spirit. The power that comes from the Holy Spirit. So where's the Holy Spirit abide? Where was he at creation?
With God.
In the beginning.
Well, open up your Bibles, Genesis chapter 1, verse 2.
Hovering over the waters.
Very good. So the Holy Spirit, who is God, three yet one, is as powerful as God the Father, because he is one. Where does he live? Inside of you. So if the God of creation lives inside of you, and the energy of God, the power of God resides inside of you, and yet you never let the power of God out of you, then who's going to get touched? But if you allow the power of God, the anointing of God, to be released from your life, what can't be done? See, that's the issue here. And this is why the enemy of your soul tries to keep you as ignorant as possible and keep you as deluded as possible and keep you as emasculated as possible spiritually. Because if he can do that, then you are not going to affect your friends. Your family are not going to heaven. Don't tell me you love somebody if you're not willing to share the gospel with them. You really don't care about them. Because if you don't care past going out and saying hello to them, then you've lost sight of their eternity. And their eternity is in your hands. There's a necessity to understand how powerful the anointing is. The anointing is the energy of God to do the work of the supernatural. So inside of you is the ability to do the work of the supernatural. Inside of you is the ability to heal the sick. Inside of you is the ability to drive out devils. Inside of you is the ability to bring deliverance to people that have either diabolical problems or just emotional things. Inside of you is everything that somebody needs. Everything. Why? Because who's inside of you? The Holy Spirit. Everything somebody needs is inside of you. I love what Brother Endophon said. Remember when he came? He said, "The Lord sent me to help you. You need me." I'm thinking to myself, well, that's kind of arrogant at first. But then when you heard it and really understood it, he's the answer. Because God sent the answer. Well, where's God abide? Inside of you. You're the answer. God is sending you as the answer to your friends. God is sending you as the answer to the people that you need to reach for Christ. You are their answer because who dwells inside of you? What is available through the Holy Spirit? Everything. The power of God is inside of you, resident, waiting to be exploded out of you. But many people just do not understand the anointing. So therefore, what they do is they encapsulate the Spirit of God. They entomb the Spirit of God in their own spirit and never allow God to live through them. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live according to the faith of the Son of God. There's a necessity to understand how imperative you are. I preached about it on Sunday. How imperative you are to the plan of heaven. And without you, somebody is damned. Now you need to hear that. Without you, somebody will be burning in the lake of fire for all of eternity and will be screaming out in agony and in pain and in loneliness, knowing that they had never accepted Christ. And the only reason they didn't was because you never told them. You didn't care enough to at least plant the seed in them. See, we need the power of God like we've never needed the power of God before. This is not about religion or feeling it around the altar. This is about taking it outside. The anointing is great in the house of God. I love when God moves by his Spirit in church. But he doesn't move in the Spirit in church. I'll give you an example. Doesn't move in the Spirit in church just so you can get through with your Gucci's and feel good and say, wow, that was a great service. But it's for you to take it outside and to release that same power of heaven on people that you come in contact with. And any other understanding of that is a misuse. You know what I found, honestly? Is most people don't need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why?
They already have the power.
No, because they'll never use it if they do get it. Most people won't use the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What's the power of the Holy Spirit for? The dunamis power, that you'll be witnesses. Most people don't use the power of the Holy Spirit. They don't use the purpose why they're baptized in the Spirit of God. They don't because they're not willing to share the gospel. Most Christians don't need the baptism of the Holy Spirit because they'll never use the baptism of the Holy Spirit except to make themselves feel good. It's so important that we learn that we are here for a reason. And if we don't start stepping into that reason, then we're helping people die and go to the lake of fire. But God hasn't sent you out there without help. Shoo. It'd be like going to get a job at Burger King. Woohoo. And your job's to make the burgers. And so they say, all right, you're making the burgers. Go back there and go ahead and do it. Well, you don't know where the burgers are. You don't know how the machine runs. You don't know how the flame gets started for flame broiled. They just said, good luck. And that's what happens to a lot of folks. The purpose and plan of God is that you be equipped for the work of the ministry, and you can't do the work of the ministry without the fire of heaven. The burger never gets fired up until the fire gets fired up. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit like we've never needed him before. Amen?
Amen.
This enables normal man to do work on behalf of God. Supernatural work. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6 says this, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So, this is about you and I doing the work of God. Not in our own strength, but in his strength. That's where a lot of people misunderstand. Well, you know, I've had people, you know, why don't you go out and share the gospel? Well, I'm a little intimidated. No, you don't understand. God never told you to do it out of you. He told you to do it out of his power. When you do it out of God's power, you always have more than enough because his power never runs out. You know, I'm dealing with this thing with pastors, and I don't mean to offend anybody. If you're watching, I'm sorry, but I'll offend you. And well, I need a sabbatical. I'm having pastors get sabbaticals all over the place. I can't comprehend a sabbatical. Well, I just need to find myself. Well, baby, I'm not lost. Well, you know, I'm just so drained. I've been a preacher for 20 years, and I'm just so drained. Well, then you're not in the presence of God enough. Because if you're giving out of your need, no wonder you're drained. You've got to give out of your excess. And this is where learning about the anointing of the Holy Spirit, learning how to stay full of the Holy Spirit, allows you to always give out of your excess and not out of your need. If you're always giving out of your need, you're going to run low for yourself. But if you're always giving out of excess, it means that everybody's participating with the overflow that's in your life. And this is where, when we understand the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we can understand that the supernatural power of heaven is what gives us the ability to do work on behalf of God. We don't do it in our own strength. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So the more you understand the anointing and how it works, the more you understand how he flows through you and out of you and into other people, the more you're going to be able to be used to change lives. And that's the key. I love, one of my most favorite things to do is to grab a hold of somebody that has never experienced the anointing before. It is so fun. I remember, I think I'd give you the example, but I was a little boy. He was probably 11 or 12 years old in youth group one night. And I was in there, and Cody said, will you go pray with kids? And I walked over to this young boy, and he was in a group with his friends, and I just grabbed him by the hand, and I said, in the name of Jesus, and I just released the anointing. You know what happened? He went like this. I said, it's real, honey. He goes, I said, you felt that, didn't you? He said, yeah. Yeah. I said, here comes another dose. So when you learn how to release the anointing, literally, it's not figurative. It's a tangible experience that people have. Not too long ago, there was a man in our church. He was in his 60s. He was sitting in the second row, and the anointing was flowing during worship. And I know he was new here. He had been faithful for a few weeks. And the Holy Spirit said, go pray for him. And I walked over and I grabbed him by the hands and I said, I release the anointing. And he went, popped his head up. And he went, I said, that's real, huh? And he goes, and he just didn't know what, he was actually befuddled. He didn't know what to do with himself. And he let go of my hands real quickly. The anointing is not figurative. It is literal. The anointing is tangible, touchable, transferable. That's why people come up and they ask me for my handkerchief. Acts chapter 19. Paul was used in unique miracles. The anointing saturated his clothes so much that they would come and they would ask for a piece of his clothing. They take that piece of clothing back and whoever it touched, they were healed or demons came out of them just through the cloth. Because the anointing is tangible. Everybody knows what tangible is? It means touchable.
Real.
Very real. So the anointing. Now, you and I are really blessed. Turn to someone and say, I'm really blessed. You really are. I don't even know if you realize how blessed you are. You see, because in the Old Testament, they did not have the privilege you and I have. In the Old Testament, not everybody was anointed. The only people that were anointed in the Old Testament were the kings. Samuel said to Saul, the Lord has sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord. So the kings were anointed. The priests were anointed. Exodus chapter 40, 13 through 15. And you should put the holy garments on Aaron and anoint him and consecrate him that he may minister to me as priest. And you shall bring his sons and clothe them in the tunics. And you shall anoint them as you anointed their father that they may minister to me as priests. For their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generation. So the kings were anointed, the priests were anointed, and the prophets were anointed. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9 through 14. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what may I do for you before I'm taken away from you? And Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. And he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken away, it shall be for you. But if not, it shall not be. Then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire separating the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. And when he saw him no more, he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into pieces. And he also took up the mantle, which is like a big coat, a mantle. Took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. Now the mantle always represents the anointing in the Old Testament. A mantle is like a coat. Now what happened was when you saw the what did he ask for? A double portion of his spirit, double portion of the anointing. What was amazing was when you study the life of Elisha, do you know what you find? Literally double the miracles. It's really a cool study. He literally did double the miracles that Elijah did. Well, why was that? Because the anointing of Elijah came upon Elisha. And what did he ask for? A double portion. So I don't know about you. I think that's pretty cool. He had an axe head rise that sunk to the bottom. He outran a chariot. He made it stop raining for 3 years. He called rain in after the 3 years. You know, he roasted a bunch of prophets of Baal. And I mean, really cool stuff. I mean, he really did neat stuff. After he died, he was buried in an open grave. A man who was killed in war, his body was thrown in the same grave. But when the man's body hit the bones of Elisha, he rose from the dead. How is that possible? Because the anointing is tangible. But remember, this is old covenant. This is Old Testament. The anointing didn't come on the believers. The anointing didn't come on the children of Israel, only the kings, the priests, and the prophets. But you and I, hallelujah, I want to remember that one more. The builders of the tabernacle were also the other ones. But other than that, nobody else. The anointing did not abide in any of the groups except for the builders of the tabernacle. And we covered that last week a little bit. The anointing came upon, and that's an interesting thing. When the anointing moved in the old covenant, it didn't come from within, it came from upon. The anointing would come upon them. So we find Samson. Did I say Samson? Yeah, Samson, there we go. In Judges 15:14, when he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the ropes that were on his arms broke like flax, that it was burned with fire, and his bonds broke loose from his hands. And of course, he killed them. So here we are, the anointing comes upon in the old covenant. Now, why is this important? Because I'm going to show you the difference between them and us. Jesus is a mediator of a new and a better covenant with better promises. Amen. So the old covenant, the anointing only came upon three people groups, only lived within one people group, and that was the builders of the tabernacle. When the anointing did manifest on the three people groups, the anointing did not come from within, but came upon. Because they did not have Christ in their life. Now the anointing was tangible, which means transferable and touchable. The anointing was so strong upon the prophet's bones, I already said that, that's found in 2 Kings chapter 13, 20 through 21. It's amazing that we, even as New Testament believers, do not understand it. In the Old Testament, God did mighty miracles to them. But there's a difference between the Old Testament believer and a New Testament believer. The anointing only came upon those three people groups, only lived within one, in the Old Covenant. But in the New Testament, where does the Holy Spirit dwell? In you. So how much more powerful are you than them? If God can raise a man off a dead man's body in the Old Covenant, what can he do for you? You see, this is where we have so made God this little pipsqueak. We made God so small. What did Jesus say to most of the people that got miracles in the New Testament? So be it as unto your faith. Which means, as big as you believe is as big as you'll get. Really, what it's saying as the statement from Christ is, how big is God? How much will we minimize him? How much will we allow him to be minimized and held down in our belief system? Because really, our faith declares how big of God he is. I'll be honest with you. Many times in my prayer time in the mornings, as I'm walking around seeking the Lord in my man cave, sometimes I'll stop and I'll look out and, you know, whether it be snow, whether it be rain, or whether it be just the mountains. I live to where you can look down Route 352 towards Elmira, and we call it Bear Claw Mountain, you know, where you have the mountain that goes like this. It's really, really pretty. And I just look down there and I say, you know, God, you etched that. You etched that for me to look at. When I walk up the gorge, I say, yeah, you didn't do this for anybody but me, because I'm your favorite kid. Honestly, though, think about it. We have made God so small that he can't even go to some churches. But God can't be contained by a building. God can't be contained by this universe. He is the all in all, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the I am that I am. There is none like him, none beside him. There'll be none even comparable to him. He is the creator of all things. Without Christ, nothing would have even been created. Yet in our belief system, we make him so small that we ask so small. We believe so small that what we do when we release the anointing, nothing happens. Push. You know what I just saw in my head? I just saw like a little match. Pooh. You strike the head of the match, and it didn't work, but you see a little poo. And that's most churches. That's most believers. Well, the problem is, that's not what's inside of you. Who's inside of you is the Holy Spirit who brooded over the earth at creation. The same Holy Spirit that so filled the bones of a dead man that someone rose from the dead the moment it hit. Man, the anointing is so strong inside of you and I today that there is nothing that is impossible for us. If you only believe, that's what Jesus said, by the way. If you only believe, there's nothing impossible for you. Yet the only reason we see very little anointing released in through our lives individually, and many times even corporately in churches, is because there is no belief that God is actually able, and there is no understanding about how to move in the anointing. There's no understanding how the anointing is tangible and touchable and transferable. So therefore, what we do is we just sit back and we go to a religious service. It's a good religious service, though. Amen. Nothing wrong with a religious service. Without the power, though, it's just a religious service. And many, many believers have never actually experienced the anointing. We find that a lot here. The people will walk in the building and they've been to church their whole life, but they've never experienced the anointing. And so what happens is they get in here and it freaks them out at first. They're not sure what to do with it at first. They can't deny that they experience it, but they're not sure what to do with it. Because they've never experienced that before. Just had a man walk in probably about 3 weeks ago, and he came into the guest reception room, and he said, "Man, I've never experienced this before." He says, I walked in the sanctuary, I walked in late while the worship was on, and he said, it was almost like I could literally feel God the moment I walked in those double doors. But how many people never experienced that? See, there's got to be a hunger because, truthfully, who we are today as New Testament saints blows away the Old Testament saints. But yet, if we don't believe, we're never going to see. What you believe is what you receive. How you perceive is how you receive. If you perceive God as small, the anointing as foolishness, or the anointing as something that is unobtainable or unreliable, then you are not going to believe when times of trouble are there. See, this is the real power, is really where the rubber meets the road. I love the anointing, but I don't love the anointing for the uchiguchis around the altar, although I love that. I love watching God touch people around the altar. That's why I still do baptisms. You've noticed that I'm in the baptismal tank? I'm in the baptismal tank for a reason. It's because I like it. I don't have to be in the baptismal tank. I don't have to baptize. I got staff to do that. I'm in there because I know that the anointing, when it hits people, changes people. There's a change. Because it's not natural, it's supernatural. So as New Testament saints, man, we're even better than before. You see, in New Testament saints, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 says this, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." And it says this in 2:27, "But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you." What's the word abide mean? It dwells. Turn to someone and say, "I'm anointed." Tell somebody else, "I'm anointed." Come on, tell somebody, "I'm anointed." "Well, you know, I think it's Brother Ted when he comes. He's anointed. I like to see the evangelists come in. They're anointed." You're anointed. The same Holy Spirit that dwells inside of Brother Ted Shuttlesworth, the same anointing that dwells inside of Bishop Thomas, the same anointing that dwells in any TV evangelist that you like, and you can put their name on it, whatever one you want, the same Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. So are they better than you? Absolutely not. I'm no better than you, and you're no better than me. I got a different job than you have, and you have a different job than me. And if you don't do yours, I can't do mine. If I don't do mine, you can't do yours. Let's stop playing games and get this thing done.
And also, the more you use it, the more you receive.
The more you use it, the more you learn it. Not receive. The more you learn how to use the anointing. And that's the key. I don't want to jump ahead. You make me jump. Jesus did not do any mighty miracles because he was the Son of God. Now I want you to hear this. Because there's a lot of churches that will teach you that Jesus did all the miracles and signs and wonders because he was God. That is not true. Let me say that again. That is not true. Jesus did not do the miracles because he was the Son of God. Now I want to remind you, Jesus was all God and all man in the same body. Philippians chapter 2 says he gave up all of his heavenly glory to come down here and to be a man. Why? According to Hebrews, so that he would be a Messiah that understands all the things that we're going through. So Jesus did not overcome sin because he was God. He overcame sin because he was a man who chose to obey God. Amen. It's very important. If Jesus did it because he was God, then you and I are absolute failures and can never be successful. A lot of people think, well, you know, we all have to sin. That's a lie. You don't have to sin one more time in your life. You don't. Not one person in this room has to sin. How many of you are born again? Romans chapter 6, I'm no longer a slave to sin. If you're no longer a slave to sin, then the only reason that every one of us sin is we make a choice. Jesus was not sinless because he was God. He was sinless because he was the Son of God, and he chose to yield to the Holy Spirit. When we choose to yield to the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that was in Christ, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, dwells inside of you, Romans chapter 8. He shall quicken your mortal body by that same Spirit. Ultimately, the same Holy Spirit that dwelled in Jesus while he walked on this planet is the same Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. So if Jesus can be sinless, so can you. It's just a matter of choice. Ooh.
Amen.
Now, like I said, Jesus did no mighty miracles because he was the Son of God. If Jesus did all the miracles because he was the Son of God, then you and I can't do any miracles. Jesus did these miracles because he was the Son of Man. Remember, Jesus was the Son of Man. His mother was Mary, all flesh. He gave up all of his heavenly glory to come down here and live as a man. He gave up all the power that he had in heaven. He gave up all of the glory that he had in heaven. He gave it all up to come down here and live as a man. As an example to show us how to do it. So every miracle he did as the Son of Man, not as the Son of God. Why is that important? If he did it as the Son of God, then you and I can't do it. If he did it as the Son of Man, then that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead that dwells inside of us, we can do anything. Well, did not Jesus say, greater works shall you do because I go to the Father, John chapter 14? You and I can do greater works in Christ. What do you mean greater? Not greater as better, but greater in quantity. We can do greater works than Christ. Why? Because he's now sitting at the right hand of the Father. And where does the Holy Spirit now sit? Inside of you. So if Jesus did it, you can do it. See, one of the toughest things, man, to teach people, because we've all been taught papal, pew. And it's not true.
Or another thing I've always heard too, it's the elders that pray. Is that true?
There's one where the elders can call, they can call in elders and they can go and pray with them. James chapter 5 verse 14. But the same anointing that's in you, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And then it goes on to say in Mark chapter 16, verse 17 through 18, that these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils, speak with new tongues. If they touch any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. And when they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Was for every single believer. So all of this is for every one of us if you believe. Oh, there's the key. That's the key. Do you believe? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit actually dwells inside of you? Do you believe that God has, the God of heaven is all powerful? Do you believe that there's nothing impossible if you only believe? Do you believe that God wants to use you? All of this is recognizing that you and I are conduits. What, everybody knows what a conduit is, right? It's like a funnel. We are the funnel of the Holy Spirit to the people of this planet. And without us, the supernatural power of God has been harnessed. A lot of people have a misconception of sovereignty. Well, God is a sovereign God. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. That's not true. God can't do whatever he wants when he wants.
We have to believe.
No. There's two things that God can't do. He will never what? Go against his word. And he will never what? Go against your will. So if you don't believe that God will ever use you, will he ever use you? If you don't believe the anointing dwells within you, will the anointing ever be released from you? If you don't believe that there's power to heal in your hands, will healing ever come from your hands? If you don't believe you can cast out devils, will you ever cast out devils? You see, we've got to harness ourselves and release the Holy Spirit. Allow God to be God, who he is through you. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. In the life that I now live, I live according to the faith of the Son of God, that God will be glorified in our lives. This is what his plan is. He wants to manifest his power through your life. Turn to someone and say, you're important. Now, I want to prove to you that Jesus didn't do these mighty miracles because he was God, but because he was man. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of... Now, remember, the word was inspired by the Holy Spirit. He could have said, now God anointed Jesus, the Son of God. He didn't do that. What did he do? He showed his humanity. By saying Jesus of Nazareth, he was declaring humanity. He was declaring that he was a man. Why is that important? Because of what Jesus came to do. How God anointed Jesus. What did he do to him? Anointed him. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. That word there is dunamis. Who went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Many people don't know and don't realize that Jesus could do nothing outside of the anointing. Until Jesus was anointed, there was no mighty miracles. How many of you ever heard of the miracles of Christ when he was 12 years old? Don't raise your hand, because there wasn't any. When did the miracles begin? The miracles did not begin until after Luke chapter 3, 21 through 23. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in a bodily form like a dove. And a voice from heaven came and said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. Now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age. His ministry of the supernatural began when? 30 years of age. What was the catalyst?
Anointing.
The anointing. The Holy Spirit coming upon him. Yes?
So the Holy Spirit wasn't in Jesus until 30?
We don't know that. All we know is no ministry, power, no gifts were manifested. No energy from heaven was released upon people. No ministry was done until he was 30 years old. And the catalyst of that was the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He was baptized in water and the Spirit came upon him. At that moment, the supernatural was starting to be released.
When he was baptized.
When he was baptized and the Spirit came upon him. No, no, I said, we do.
Okay.
Jesus chose.
Okay.
Now, he was given the Spirit without measure. So the Holy Ghost was with Christ. I don't know if he was in him. Well, the same Spirit that raised Christ. No, we don't see scripturally that the Holy Spirit dwelt inside of him. We see that the Spirit came upon him. We see that the Spirit moved through him. But no ministry was begun until 30 years old, baptized. But what happened at the baptism? The Spirit of God came upon him like a dove. At that moment, ministry began.
So if we, as born-again believers, have the Spirit in us, what happens if we walk away from our faith? Does the Spirit leave us?
Yes. My spirit will not always strive with man. Remember, the only people that believe the Holy Spirit stays with you in your backslidden condition are the Baptists. Once saved, always saved.
So it's even more dangerous that as soon as you lose the Spirit.
That's why I said, brother, the tastiest meat for Lucifer is one who used to serve Christ who walked away. Greatest trophy of hell.
There was the ministry of John before Jesus.
Do you see anointing?
No.
Okay.
Baptism.
But you'll find that the anointing would come upon John. He would do miracles.
At baptism.
But you don't see, there's no Holy Spirit dwelling in him. He's Old Testament. Disciples were Old Testament. They did miracles. Matthew chapter 10, Luke chapter 10, they all did miracles. They raised the dead, they cast out devils, they healed the sick. But the Spirit would come upon them and not dwell in them.
Did he give them the power before Pentecost? Didn't he give them power to go out into the...
Yep, that's Matthew 10. We find that 70 went out and they did mighty miracles. Luke chapter 10, they came back and they said, Jesus, we're excited. We cast out devils in your name. And Jesus said, don't be excited about that. I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. That's no big deal. Be excited that your names are written in the book, Lamb's Book of Life. Because Christ used them, the anointing would come upon them, just like Old Testament saints. But it never dwelt inside until Christ died and rose from the dead. And that is when we, as believers, have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit.
So they had the anointing came upon them like all the Old
Testaments. Yep. Because they didn't have the privilege like we have. So I'm saying, isn't it amazing? Luke chapter 10, Matthew chapter 10, they're what? Jesus said, go cleanse the leper, cast out devils, raise the dead. They did it. That's the anointing upon. Yet we have believers today, I hate to say it honestly, usually it's American believers, that very rarely move in any power at all. Overseas, it's very normal. When Chad was over in Africa, they went to villages. And they cast out devils out of, I think, three witch doctors. Yeah, they had blind eyes open right there. People who couldn't walk, be able to walk, they would just go into these areas and preach the gospel, and Jesus would heal the sick and raise the dead. It wasn't abnormal. It's not abnormal in other portions. But what's happened in American church is we have created that chasm between the people and the preachers. And that's got to cease, because it's not about the preacher. Can I hear an amen? It's about the believers. It's about every one of us moving in who God has called us to be. And that's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So the anointing, Jesus did the mighty miracles, not because he was the Son of God, but because he was the Son of Man, so that he showed us how to do them. You and I have the capability today to move in the power of God stronger than the disciples did in the Gospels. But most won't, because they don't believe. And that's the sad part. Because remember, Jesus said the gospel is not in word only, but in power.
So people who are believers, there's people who believe in Jesus, and then there's people who believe in the power of God.
Well, I mean, if you believe in Jesus, you should believe in the power of God. The problem in today's Christianity, with what we call, we have one of the largest churches in America, most of the largest churches in America are called seeker-sensitive churches. There is no power. They'll preach a level of gospel, but there is no power of manifestation. That's why when people come here, they get a little freaked out. They should be freaked out when they go to the quiet church, not when they come to the loud church. That's a reality. I mean, what are they going to do when they get to heaven? Go to the corner because it's too loud?
Don't you think a lot of this, and I'm speaking for myself, is from the lack of learning?
Absolutely. My people perish for the lack of teaching, but not in this church. You know, that's why we push this. We drive this stuff.
I've never heard of this stuff before, never.
Wow, you've been saved for how many years?
50 years.
50 years.
And I've learned more in a year and
Wow. Amen. Amen. That's what our job is. And listen, I'm not afraid of anybody in this room. I just know someday I got to stand before Jesus and he's not going to say, why didn't you teach them? I'm going to say, I told them everything. It's their fault. I'm no fool. So here we go. Jesus declared the anointing was upon him. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. Everybody say he was anointed. It's the anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage. It's the anointing that does supernatural acts. It's the anointing that brings the power of God into reality. So, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Jesus did not do the miracles because he was the Son of God. He did miracles because he was the Son of Man, anointed by the Holy Spirit. He left everything in heaven to come down here to show us how to do it. That's why when you read the Gospels, here's what I want you to do. I want you to start Matthew chapter 2. Or Matthew chapter 1, past verse, I don't know, 10. You got to get past the begets. And so-and-so begets so-and-so, and so-and-so begets so-and-so. The begets are important if you want to do a lineage, but it's really boring if you're just reading it.
We're talking about in the beginning.
Yes, so that's what I want you to do. When you read the Gospels this time, I want you to see every time Jesus moves in power. Every time the disciples moved in the supernatural. And I want you to remind yourself, I'm more powerful than they are. I can do what they just did. When you start doing that, well, number one, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Number two, even your words are a seed for life and death are in the power of the tongue. That the moment we start declaring the truth over our lives, we start living the truth in our lives. So many of us believe, and I went through that a little bit this morning in the blog. If you haven't read the devotional today, you need to do that. In the blog, that so many of us rest upon our feelings, where our feelings have no right to run our lives. We are not run by our emotions. We are run by the Word of God. The truth of the Word supersedes every feeling and emotion. So when you're down or when you're struggling or when you're not sure, when you read the word, you start declaring the word over my life. The word will bring life to you. The word will inspire you. The word will stir up you in your spirit, man. You see, and that's what I do all the time. This morning I walked around for the first 20 minutes just declaring, I thank you, God, that I'm a preacher of the kingdom. I thank you, Father, that I am anointed of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, God, that I can see, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I thank you, God, that I have seen blind eyes open and deaf ears. Even those who didn't even have eardrums come to hearing. Lord, I thank you that tumors are subject to me in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, that hearts will be healed in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, that there is nothing that I cannot accomplish. I thank you, there are no money barriers. I thank you, God, there is no time barriers. I thank you, Father, that nothing is impossible because I choose to believe that my God is greater than all things and there is nothing that can hold me back. I spoke to my spirit this morning. I spoke to myself right out loud, and I don't know about you, no one else is in that man cave with me. I was running around that place having a grand old time. I don't run around just in church, baby. If I'm not going to run around in my prayer room, I'm not going to run around at church because it's all fake when it's only done in one place. But you see, I live this stuff. I breathe this because it is alive and real. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. My tongue is as the pen of a ready writer, and I will decree over myself life and not death. And you see, Jesus, he did these miracles and signs and wonders and said, you can do them. Yeah. Greater work shall you do. So why don't we do? Because we don't believe. Really is the crux. Well, you know, what if I try and it doesn't work? What if it does?
How do we do that?
I can't tell you yet. It's not time. Yes, you can.
Nothing I've ever felt before. And I'm like, something is wrong. And I was like sweating. And I'm like, do I have to go to the bathroom? Like, it wasn't like that type of feeling. So we get in and we check in, and I'm just like almost killed over. I'm like, Mom, something is not right. I do not feel good. I didn't know if I was going to have appendicitis. Like, it was so bad. So we got to our gate, and I tried going to the bathroom, and I'm just sitting there. Nothing's happening. I go and sit by my gate, and my mom is like, I don't know if any of you know my mom, but she's a social butterfly. So we're sitting there, and she's like, I want to know if I see anybody that I know at the airport, because we were going to be flying back to Omaha. I'm like, you do that. I'm taking all of what I'm learning, like learning how to pray and declaring over my life and laying hands in the anointing. So I sat there and I just kind of like leaned over and I laid hands on myself.
That's right.
I just kept praying. I rebuked the pain and I declared that it was gone.
Yes.
And I prayed in thanksgiving and I did it fervently, like until it was gone. Like literally, it probably took about 10 minutes, but nobody else existed at that
That's
time.
Right.
And I just literally prayed over myself. And all of a sudden,
boom,
it was just gone.
Amen.
It was gone. I never felt it again, and I was fine. I was like, let's go. And it was the most amazing. But I knew that I could do that. I knew that
Amen.
I could take care of it. And it was.
Isn't it fun?
Yeah.
It really is fun. I don't care what anybody says. Yeah, it really is. It's really fun. Because once you learn how to move in the power of God, it is a blast. When you start seeing people's eyeballs pop, pushing, what just happened to me? It is so much fun. When you lay hands on somebody and they get healed, it is so much fun. You know, sometimes I pray for people in public all the time. And, you know, the other day, I kind of just wish I waited around a little bit longer. I was at Tops, and a guy said to me, "Hi, Pastor Spencer, how are you?" Kind of freaks you out a little bit, you know. TV is not always a fun thing. Everybody thinks, well, you know, it's really cool. You're on TV a lot. No, it's not fun. Everybody watches you. I mean, they watch you. So, "Hi, Pastor Spencer, how are you?" "Good." I'm thinking, do I know him? Do I know him? Do I know him? I didn't recognize him at all. He told me who he was. I remember meeting you once, in not at church, somewhere out in the public. And he was all messed up. There was a problem with his leg. And I'm walking out the door, and the Holy Spirit said, "Why didn't you pray for him?" I walk back, grab him by the hand. I says, "You don't mind if I pray for you, do you?" He goes, "No. In Jesus' name, I rebuke the pain and I command your," I believe it was his knee, "I command your knee to be reconstructed in Christ's name, that you will give God glory and power." And the teller over here, you know, the checkout lady says, "I haven't seen that forever. I just never see people pray for people anymore." He was so wide open. I wish I had stayed. I should have pulled him right up out of his chair. You know, because people are hungry for the supernatural. You're the supernatural. It's you. They're waiting for you. You're their answer. It's not the preacher. It's you. We're the body of Christ. And the same Holy Spirit is in you, waiting to bust out and touch somebody. We've got to let him loose. Amen? We've got to let him loose. That's that verse I've quoted a few times. John chapter 14, verse 12, it says this: "Most assuredly," which means no questions asked, "I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than I do, he will do, because I go to my Father." So every one of us is anointed. Now, I got to end. I'm going to finish with this. Here's a little thing. I love it. It's called the perpetual propulsion of the power of God. Everybody say that with me. Perpetual. We'll say it together. Perpetual propulsion of the power of God. What's perpetual mean? Never stops. Perpetual means it's never ending. Perpetual propulsion. What's propulsion? Cody, come here. Propulsion. Come here. Just come over here. Hurry up. Stand right there. Watch. Perpetual means it never stops. Propulsion means that from behind, you're being pushed. Just give it away. Here we go. Perpetual propulsion of the power of God. That means the Holy Spirit is always waiting to do it. Perpetual. Never ending. Never ceasing. never running out of power, didn't pay the bill, doesn't count. Always working, perpetual propulsion. He's waiting. He's waiting for you. He's waiting to use that anointing inside of you. He's waiting to touch somebody. Perpetual propulsion of the power of God. That's the anointing. The anointing is resident, waiting to emerge, waiting to explode out of you. You see, even as I'm speaking right now, I can sense the anointing. The anointing is coming up over my back. I can feel the anointing coming out through my arms right now. I can sense the, I remember praying for a man in Massachusetts. I got about this far from him, and he was picked up off the ground. He weighed 270, 280 pounds. His name was Neil Hallquist, and he was thrown back three rows, crashed all three rows all the way back. Remember Neil? Yeah. He was thrown back all the way back. He got up and he says, "Did you see the lightning bolts coming out of your hands?" I didn't see that, but he saw that. And when it hit him, boom, he flew back. I have seen such amazing power of God because the anointing is always resident, always waiting to be released. The challenge is, if you don't believe, the power of God is stopped. You know what's amazing is, I was in Cortland, New York, and I had a catcher. I brought a young man up with me, and I went to go pray for this individual, and I came up to them to lay hands on them, and I could feel the resistance in the spirit. And I said, "Well, you know, God, maybe we can just bust through this thing." And I said, "In Jesus' name, I release the anointing now." And the catcher went out because it went right around him, the one who rejected, and the catcher was out in the spirit. I've had times without question, if you notice, when I pray for people around the altar, I don't start at the beginning. I walk. You know what I'm waiting for? Jesus said, "I see your faith." Paul said, "I could see their faith." You can see faith that draws on the anointing to be released. So what I do is I'll walk until I see faith. And once I see faith, faith connected with the anointing always releases a supernatural explosion. And then you can release it. And God will change their life. What's awesome is usually when this person gets touched, this person's faith level will rise. And then you can start going down the line. See, the anointing, when you learn how to flow, is so exciting and it is so fun because it is tangible. I was in a Benny Hinn crusade one time, and you know, I had always seen it on television, you know, where he releases the anointing in a facility that seats 15 to 20,000 people and everybody falls out in the spirit at the same time. And I'm thinking, yeah, right. No, really. Yeah, right. You know.
You thought that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Thinking, yeah, okay, gotcha. Well, I went to one of the services. And that night he stood up there and he said, "Here comes the Holy Spirit." And he went, whoosh. And I watched him, just like the wave, start going down, start going down, start going down. And it came over to me and my knees went, whoa. Now, I didn't go down, but I was two-thirds. But everybody around me is laying with their heads like this. And it was as real and powerful as it could ever be. You know what I'm praying for on a Sunday, and you've heard me say it. And every Sunday, I'm getting up and releasing the power of God to do so. I want to see the entire congregation go out in the Spirit in one service. That everybody automatically just, whoosh, I'm waiting for the blanket of God to wipe us all out. I can't wait. I'm praying for it. That's why when you see me get up on a Sunday morning and I start releasing the anointing, you see, I'm not waving at myself. I know the anointing is released just like this in Jesus' name. And I know that the power of God is tangible and it will work. And I'm waiting. One day it will happen. And I'm kind of praying that I get to stay up to watch. I just want to see God's power. I want to see the anointing in a greater measure. You can't feel that, you're dead, so. No, I understand.
Woo! Woo! Jesus!
You know, it's amazing. Does anybody know what the Lord is saying? Does anybody know what the Lord is saying? It's really powerful, is recognizing the anointing and listening. You know, listening to the anointing. Because when you start listening, remember we talked about moods of God a few weeks ago? God has a mood. And when you come to a service, man, you need to pay attention to the mood of the Holy Spirit, because he desperately wants to move. He desperately wants to move.
That.
Yeah, oh yeah, you did. Oh, yeah. Well, so did a lot of people here. Look at the dry eyes and the non-dry eyes. You know, the anointing is tangible. The anointing is real. And the challenge is you and I saying, Holy Spirit, do with me whatever you want. Wow. Can you imagine if he could have us unrestrained? What we could do with our neighborhoods? What we could do in our families? What we could do with the friends that he has sent us to? You know, this is what this is about. The anointing is to work. The anointing is to work. Oh my goodness, look how late it is. 9:30 already. No, I'm just kidding. There was a woman who was in Rod Parsley's office. She was a secretary. And he walked into the office one day and she's, oh, the anointing, hallelujah. The anointing came on her like you did. Hallelujah. And he looked at her and said, type, woman, type. Because the anointing is to do work on behalf of another. The anointing is to work.
It came out of your mouth.
Yeah. The anointing. It's really not abnormal. I've constantly had people say that they can literally see the anointing just over my head. Now what I'm waiting for is what I've been asking the Holy Spirit to do, is I'm asking him to show me. I want to see the anointing in my spirit. I want to see it when I release it. I want to see what it looks like when it's released from me. And I feel it. I mean, I know the anointing goes, but I want to see it. I want to see what it looks like. I want to see what it looks like. See, this is where we grow in the anointing.
I've seen the anointing from Apostle Endophon.
Amen. My wife
before
used to
my
see.
Eyes, I felt it. I saw it.
You saw it come out of his hands?
I saw it come out of his hands.
Amen. My wife used to see, our evangelistic ministry used to be called High Impact Ministries. And what that was our logo was a hand. And out of the hand was flowing a golden oil that was the anointing. And my wife used to see in the spirit that oil flowing out of his hand. And wherever that oil hit, there was a supernatural move of God. And I remember one time she said, there's a whole puddle of the anointing right there. Anybody who walked in that anointing, whew, the power was released. It was powerful. It was powerful. It was powerful.
Because thou hast asked of the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt receive. If thou wilt keep believing, I will show you your heart's desire, because you are a child of God, and because you trust me, and I trust you, if you keep continuing in believing, I will show you what your heart's desire is, and you will stand and see it. You will not fall under the power, because you have asked that you might see it. Now, because you believe, I am going to give it to you, and only you, because you have asked for it.
Hallelujah. Mm. I like the anointing, don't you? Listen, what this church has seen in the power of God is just a scratch of what I've seen. I've been saying that for 18 years. I came off the road as an evangelist. I saw far more than I've ever seen in this church. And we're hungry. I want more of Jesus. More and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I've ever had before. And the anointing is an evidence of Christ. So, you got it. You're anointed. Let's start using it this week. I had this woman. Her husband was unsaved. Her husband was unsaved. And I said, you're anointed, so I want you to lay hands on him in the middle of the night and release the anointing in his life when he's sleeping, because he wouldn't let her pray over him. And so she'd wait for him to go to sleep, and she'd lay hands on him after he'd been asleep a while. It was like deep sleep stuff. And every time she'd start releasing the anointing, he'd sit up and he'd say, what are you doing? Because the anointing woke him up.
Used to do that to Jay.
Look where he is now. Who'd ever thought Jay Parman would be born again? Holy Ghost filled, born again man. Dear Lord. Who'd ever thought you'd been baptized? Are you baptized in the Holy Ghost yet? Father, fill him up in Jesus' name. Lord, fill him full of your Holy Spirit. He's hungry for you, Lord. Lord, bless his wife. Father, I thank you for your anointing. Lord, bless this young man. He's got such a heart after you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, we just release your presence in this place. Now, you see, you can actually watch how the anointing sits on people. It's really interesting. All of this is learned. It's all learned. It's all learned. You already possess the power of God, but you have to learn how to move. You have to learn how to flow. It's all learned. And so a lot of people just sit back and they think they're going to get it and they're going to move like amazing tomorrow. No, this is learned. When you learn how to release the anointing, it really is exciting. My son brought a person into my office one day and he said, Daddy's never experienced Jesus. And he was an unbeliever. Jesus loves unbelievers, by the way. I said, do you mind if I pray with you? And I said, you're going to feel the power of God come on your life. And he didn't know what I was talking about. I took him by the hands, and I released the anointing. And as you do that, he didn't know what to do. Because the anointing came all over him. Some people, the anointing will rest on in a stronger manner, some in a lesser manner, but it all depends on your reception. And the more you are hungry, the more you'll be filled. How do I know that? Those who hunger after righteousness shall be filled.